Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 40 of season 5 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off this week is Jess Rogers. Welcome back to the show, Jess.
I'm so glad to be here, Rob.
And I'm glad to have you here. It's been a fun week for me. Hopefully you've enjoyed yourself too. Hopefully all of our listeners have also enjoyed what they've been listening to. But you know, we'll have to wait for feedback on that. Yeah. Let's assume they are.
Yeah. They've enjoyed it.
That's right. Of course they have. Just like we are. So minute 40 begins with Sam still in shock and ends with John getting to the bottom of the stairs. So we basically finished things yesterday with John getting back into his regular self and, making himself feel at home around Christmas time by, you know, climbing out of an elevator or climbing into an elevator shaft outside, you know, of leaving an elevator is a little bit nostalgic.
For him.
Yes, that's true. You know, because we're never really able to establish if this is a year or two after what happened in Nakatomi, there are conflicting information about which it is, because they do constantly say, why does this keep happening to us? So it could refer to it that it happened last year. Lorenzo makes a comment about the fact that I know about you and all that Nakatomi building stuff. It made it sound as if it was just the year before or whatever it is, but we're never really sure because we don't know if that happened in 87 or 88, and we don't know if this is happening in 89 or 90, at the end of which year does it take place?
Yeah.
You know, does it take place before the movie came out or after, you know, things like that. So sure. Whatever, the assumption is either 1 or 2 years. That's pretty much the range that I would give it between those.
Yeah, no more than that. Otherwise, people wouldn't remember. Like, Sam, as the reporter, wouldn't remember his event. Like, he wouldn't matter.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about it that way, it's even stranger for me that Stewart would remember the fact that he saw John on Nightline. You know, like, who cares?
True.
You know, or I think they mentioned that he was in Newsweek or something. They mentioned something. I don't remember what it was. But, you know, it makes it seem as if, okay, everyone in the military or law enforcement is going to remember what John McClane did. So it's a little confusing from that perspective. You know, not 100% clear, but okay. It's still fun. And you know, it makes sense either way.
Right.
So basically, we hear the elevator door bell ring. It's like dings. And then we see John close up the top of the escape hatch, I guess you can say, or the paneling, stuff like that. And we get a quick shot of Sam where she actually looks a little scared. She's like looking up with a shocked look on her face and like moving slightly backwards. So to me, that was a little confusing. You know, as to why they're making her seem as if she's, you know, completely shocked about this. I don't know what there is to be shocked about. And then the elevator doors open, and we see Tomlinson and his partner, whose name is Stewart. If you can see his badge says on it. His name is Jay Stewart. maybe it's John Stewart. You know, this was before he started doing the Daily Show. True. Do you know who else John Stewart was? One of the Green Lanterns.
Oh, really? No, yes. I didn't know that.
The Black Green Lantern's name was John Stewart. So
cool.
Yes. And it's spelled the same way. Both of them spelled the same way. And then, you know, Tomlinson says to Sam, hey, she goes, hi. And then he goes, where's the other guy? And she goes, claustrophobic, I guess. And she just walks out. You know, she's
and she looks up, like she sort of gives it away that he went up out of the elevator.
Yes. She looks up very, very quickly, you know, as she like walks by them. And then the two of them look up also because there's, you know, where else can you go with this whole thing? But I mean, First of all, it's great because you can tell this is completely ADR'd, because when they're talking, you know, we hear the hey and the hi, we don't see anyone's voices. We don't see anyone's lips moving.
Oh, really?
They're always showing the other person at the same time, you know, when they're talking about it. Until she says claustrophobic, I guess, and then she walks through them and stuff like that.
Right.
So, yeah, that's but I like the fact that they look up, but there's no follow-up to this at all. You know, it's like, okay, he's missing. There isn't, he doesn't pick up the walkie-talkie and say, all right, Captain, there was only one of them here. This other guy seems to have disappeared. Yeah. You know, and then Carmine would say, oh, damn, he's going through the elevator shaft again. I already read about that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little strange the way they do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fun looking at them, the way that they look up, you know, very confused. And then we see a map, and then we see Barnes explaining to Trudeau and to Lorenzo, who looks bored out of his mind. You know, Lorenzo's looking all around. He's not looking at Barnes at all. As Barnes starts saying, and he goes, it's a VHF system. The planes are so close, it doesn't matter. I can rig our frequency in 30 minutes, wire in a crossover, and we're hot. Even the planes won't know the difference. So, again, you know, a lot of, you know, engineering mumbo-jumbo doesn't right. make any sense to me, except for the fact that he can do this in 30 minutes. You know, that's it. It's funny that he says that even the planes wouldn't know the difference. Like, who cares? We want to land these planes. And if they know the difference.
What are they going to do if they panic up on the planes, right? It's just the pilots who are supposed to do what they're told and follow directions anyway.
Correct.
So, yeah. Why would it matter if the plane? I guess he's trying to say is Stewart won't know the difference.
I don't know, but he says even the planes won't know the difference. He doesn't say Stewart won't know the difference.
No, I know. You know, the planes. Maybe he even says the Stewart won't.
Because, I don't because know. If the planes don't get it, then who would, you know? That type of thing.
Yeah.
Don't know. It's just a funny way of saying it, that even the planes wouldn't know the difference.
Agreed.
Because who cares? So the planes know the difference. Oh, no. The planes know the difference. They know, meaning that what are they being told that makes a difference to them? Yeah. It doesn't matter because it doesn't make a difference. Yeah. So that's just a very, very strange thing. And then the response that Trudeau gives is get what you need, borrow, steal, kill. Now, I always thought he said keel, and I never understood what that means. You know, borrow, steal, keel. You know, it's just his accent. You know, it's his Tennessean accent, you know, coming out
there you go.
By telling people, you know, now, do you know what the real phrase is that includes borrow and steal?
Beg, borrow, and steal.
That's right. Beg, borrow, and steal, which is an idiom. Do you know what it means?
Get it however you can.
That's right. To do whatever is necessary to get something that is wanted or needed. You know, we'll have to beg, borrow, or steal the extra chairs we need for the meeting. That's an example that you get in the Urban Dictionary about this. But,
okay.
You know, but it's funny that he, you know, ups the ante by saying, you know, borrow, steal, and kill.
Which, yeah, don't beg.
Yeah. But again, I mean, what's funny is what's ironic here is that, you know, Barnes isn't the one who does any killing. When he goes towards the Skywalker annex.
True. He's not even armed, really. Well, no.
Nope. No, of course not. Why would he be armed? He's an engineer.
Right.
Why would the engineer need to be armed?
That's funny.
Not needed at all. So, yeah. And then Lorenzo, you know, jumps in and goes, I want my SWAT team to go with him as cover. Whatever we can think of, they can think of too. which is a great line, basically saying, all right, they're, you know, all of them together collectively are as smart as we are.
Also, it's that he's just repeating exactly what McClane just said, right?
That's right. That's right.
30 seconds later.
But he's saying it in a completely no. It's, first of all, it's a minute and a half later,
Okay.
but it's
Oh,
in a
true.
completely different context. You know, John's
Okay.
saying it as a warning that
Right.
whatever we can think of, they can think of too, meaning that they've thought this through. So whatever
Yeah.
happens is something that they're going to, you know, they're the ones who are going to need to know about this.
Right.
But yeah. So it's just interesting that he says that. When we get to the script, it has an interesting comment about the line. So we'll get there. And then basically Trudeau like gives him a very strange look. Do you think
Yeah.
Trudeau then knows that it's the same line that John just said?
Yes, I think that's what it was, that he was looking at him like, that's the exact same thing. And of course, or it was some sort of like, well, yeah, of course. So get on it, do it faster. do it better, or they're gonna think of it first.
That's right. That makes sense. And then basically, Lorenzo just turns around and walks away. You know, I'm not sure if he feels embarrassed or that he got caught saying the same line or something like that. Not really sure. What do you
Maybe.
think?
I think if he's stupid enough to have just repeated the same line someone else said, I don't think he gets embarrassed by it. I think it's reasonable, and he's just walking away to go get started. Like, I thought of this idea, so now I got to go take care of
Yeah, but he turns his head really abruptly, as if to say, "All right, I'm out of
it.
here." You know,
Yeah.
I don't want to be here.
Definitely, and I don't want to be here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get busted.
that's what I think. That's what I would think. And then the shot changes, and we get a shot of a basement with a lot of steam shooting out from the sides.
Yep.
Very steamy basement. I don't think I've ever been in a basement that has that much steam in it.
No, ever. It would
Yeah.
be such a hazard, right? Anywhere near that where that steam's coming out, it's going to hurt somebody.
Correct. That's what I would
Just
say.
seems terribly unsafe. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little strange.
The lighting in both the tower and in this basement are eerily similar.
Yes. Well, it's the same building, just a different floor.
Right, but why don't they turn some real lights on? I
Right.
mean, I get why they don't do it in the tower because they're looking at computer screens and it's easier if it's dark, I
Well,
guess.
maybe here they're doing it because they want to save electricity.
Oh, that's a good reason.
Or maybe these lights were also connected to. No, probably not. They're probably
Probably
not.
not.
No, probably not connected to the light to the lights on the runways. But I mean, you
Nope.
see in the middle of the screen coming down from the top, you see, you know, like a it looks like an emergency light type of thing, that's
Yeah.
off. It's not on. Do you think that this is directly below the traffic control tower?
Yeah, it probably would be, at least at the beginning, and then he wanders around.
Like this is the basement that this is the B that John had
Elevator.
on the elevator, right?
I would assume so, yeah. Although he went up to get down.
Well, he had to get out.
True.
So from that perspective, he didn't have a choice.
Right. No, he definitely had to get out, but then just nitpicking, she would have gone to one, right? That's where the star was.
Right.
And then how did he get to the basement?
Well,
Presumably two.
he's
Or maybe he
Spider-Man.
slid by it. Yeah, that's true. I like that. He Spider-Man'd around. Okay, I can accept that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally. And then he looks around with all the steam for ages.
That's right. You know, as long as he's not, you know, shooting, slinging webs, then he's fine.
Right. He's good.
So that makes sense. And, you know, we get to see then the steam sort of clears. Again, that's a hell of a lot of
Sort of.
steam. And then we see John, and John's looking around. You know, we can see that he's already sweating from the heat in where he is, and he goes, "Oh man, I can't f-ing believe this. Another basement, another elevator. How can the same sh happen to the same guy twice?"
It's perfect. It's such a good callback to the previous movie.
Yeah, I remember when this movie was when the trailers were coming out, and this scene was in the trailer. You know, they had to have this. There's a line later on, you know, where with when he meets Major Grant, where Grant says something very similar to him.
Yeah.
You're the wrong man at the wrong time. You're in the wrong place in the wrong time. Something like that.
Yeah.
And that was also in all of the trailers.
Makes sense.
You know, just to get people in.
Yeah.
You know, to pull them in, to say, oh, it's gonna be so much like the other movie.
And in many ways, it really is. Like he has to sneak around in an airport.
Yes, for sure.
It gets bloodier and bloodier.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and he John just like looks around. You know, I think he's used to being in a place like this, I guess you could say, even though it's a very different type of, it's not, you know, he wasn't in a basement last time.
Right. No.
You know, and I love the shot is we see, you know, from the bottom of a staircase, you know, you see a light coming towards you and then you see John walk through that light.
Yep.
You know, it looks like someone's playing like a projector or something like that.
It does.
As he's walking through there. You know, and then he starts walking down the stairs itself and he slides down half of it, which I loved. It's a great move.
Yeah.
And then you know, he just kind of slide right down.
Yeah.
That's right.
But there's more more basement to go down.
Yeah. That's true. And that's how this minute ends. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, except that I wanted to keep watching because I know what's coming next week.
You can. You can keep watching. You just can't talk to me about it. No, you can, but not, you know. Not here. You know, I have to give other people a chance also.
That seems right.
Sorry. Plus, you have to get ready for your wedding. You have less than a month, so you know.
True.
You don't have time to spend every week talking about Die Hard 2.
Not 1 minute at a time, no.
Well, you know, it should be a goal. All right, so the script has some interesting stuff there. So it just says the door opens, the guards there react to the open ceiling, and Sam shrugs. And it says, claustrophobic, I guess. So, you know, that's why I said it sounded like it was 80 yard. Because none of that dialogue is in the script. They probably added in later. But what's interesting is they say here that the guards actually notice that the ceiling is open, meaning John didn't close the ceiling, you know, which is very strange.
Yeah.
And then it says, tilt up from the big map of the airport, lots of ad-lib brainstorming, some of it breaking through, somehow one really hesitant voice cuts through with nothing but confidence, which is Barnes, right? And then we hear Barnes say, then someone says, that's VHF, it'll scatter. And then Barnes says, that doesn't matter. The planes we want to reach are right overhead. I could rig our frequency in 30 minutes, wire in a crossover, and we're hot. The planes wouldn't even know the difference. And then Trudeau says, get what you need. Borrow, steal, kill. And then Lorenzo mentions about the SWAT team. And then he goes, it says, Lorenzo says firmly, whatever we can think of, they can think of too. He says it like he thought of it himself.
Right.
So I love that line, you know, that, you know, he gives himself the credit for it. The camera adjusts and we get to the Dulles basement. And it says pretty dark and creepy for a place only 25 years old. A flashlight beam pans the lens. We see the two lobby guards as they search the basement. They move away from the camera, pausing. So in the script, they actually went down to the basement looking for him.
Ah, I see.
Yep. Isn't that great? And then it says, McLean appears in the gloom close to camera, clothes now a little greasy and dirty from his little escapade. McLean to himself says, I don't believe this. Another f***ing elevator, another f***ing basement. Why does this always happen to me? He moves through the cavernous maze and then reacts to music. And he moves towards it. And that's how it is.
Yeah.
So it gives us a little bit of a hint as to what we're going to get next week.
Right. It's a good kind of cliffhanger for the week.
Yeah, I like it. People are going to have to wonder, worry about what it is. You know, just you can listen to the – I'll give you a hint. If you listen to the music and the intro and the outro, it's connected to next week. How's that? That's the hint. So Every Friday, I have a segment called Where Are They Up To This Weekend? Which is a way for me to test my guests' memory about some of their favorite movies.
Oh, no.
Yes. So basically, the idea here is very simple. We've now gone through, we've reached the 40-minute mark of this movie of Die Hard 2. So, you know, I asked Jess a few months ago, and, you know, what her, give me a list of her three top movies, and she sent them to me. And I decided that I want to see if Jess can remember what is happening during two of those movies, right, at the 40-minute mark.
Oh.
So two of the first of Jess's choices was The Princess Bride. So what do you think is happening at the 40-minute mark?
Ooh,
in The Princess Bride.
Interesting. At the 40.
Again, I give a little bit of leeway here because, sure, you know, it is. I'm putting you on the spot here. You didn't know that this was why I asked you for those movies. And you might not remember.
Princess Bride. Wow. I think we're seeing Buttercup basically in the castle and trying to figure things out. Like she's already been lost. Wait. She's already been returned to Humperdinck, and Wesley's in the pit of despair. Am I anywhere close?
No, not yet. They're not there yet. They're not there yet.
Okay.
At the 40-minute mark, Wesley has just defeated Vicini.
Oh, okay.
And the two of them, and then she pushes Wesley, or she, I'm sorry, she pushes the Dread Pirate Roberts down the hill. And he says, as you wish.
Nice.
And then she jumps down too. And it basically, it's the shot of the two of them right before they go into the fire swamp.
Oh, that's so great. Okay.
So that is where we're up to at this point.
Ah, and I should have guessed it. So every night going to bed, my fiance says, almost like he kissed you in the morning. He says, good night, and almost like he kissed you in the morning. And he said it basically every night of our relationship. So,
there you go.
That. Okay. What's the other one? This is fun.
All right. And there you go. I know it's fun. That's why I like doing it. And the other one that I'm going to do is Sense and Sensibility.
Ooh. I love that movie so much.
Well, you told me you did. So therefore I decided to see what you would think. So what is happening around, again, this, you know, around the 40-minute mark?
Around the 40-minute mark, I wonder if, so has Marianne just met Willoughby and they're running around having fun and everyone's sort of trying to figure out whether he's a good boy, good guy or not? Or have they gone to town already because Marianne's
okay, well,
sad?
Well, basically she falls down and Willoughby saves her.
Oh, that's when it is. Okay, so it's just before.
There you go.
Nice.
That's right.
That's I love
right. it. So there you go. Right. Your third choice is a movie I've never seen. So
what? That's unacceptable. It's so good. A Night's Tale. Come on.
Yeah, it's on my list. It's something I keep saying I want to see at some point.
Oh my gosh.
I've seen bits and pieces of it, but, you know, it's on my list. Before this episode airs, you know, my promise to you, I will try to find time, because I don't have time to watch movies, obviously.
Fair.
No.
Well,
Jess,
you do know
how many movies I watch, don't you?
Yes.
Okay.
All the
I'm just making sure you're aware of that. Yes. Okay. So yes, I will do my best to watch it, and I will let you know when I do. And then you'll get to see if I like it. So by the time this comes out, yes, I probably will have seen it.
Excellent. When you get to the dance scene, I want you to imagine me and my best friend drunk on gin and tonics and dancing along in the living room to that scene as if we know how to do the steps. So that's all I'm going to say. Just think about it when you, there's only one dance scene. So when you get to the dance scene, imagine two drunk 20-year-old idiots dancing along to it.
Okay. Well, you've just convinced me that I now need to watch it tomorrow.
There you go.
So, so be prepared tomorrow to hear something about
Excellent.
This. That's you've just bumped it up very high on my list, and tomorrow is A Night's Tale. Okay.
Perfect.
There we go. Yeah. All right. Very good. So, Jess, thank you very much for joining me this week. I've had a lot of fun. I hope you have too.
Yes. Thank you so much.
All right. And do you want to once again, for the final time, let people know how they can find Jess Rogers, Dr. Jess Rogers?
It's true.
You know,
You'll find me on Twitter at @in_entertain, because it's what my blog used to be called, Insight into Entertainment. And I've never changed my Twitter handle.
Okay, no reason to change it. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
It works.
No, that's right. All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Your Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website, moverobminute.com. So again, Jess, thank you very much. Hope everyone has a great weekend. I will be back on Monday with a new guest to continue talking about what happens with this music. You know, what is this music that John is hearing? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. But until then, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfuckers!
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages,